Welcome to Shaken and Stirred. It's a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise. Are we franchise first timers at this point?
No.
No, we've made it through 20 films, maybe?
Jeez. Yeah, how many do we have? Like six.
Yeah, we've made it through 20 films.
Congratulations.
Franchise first timers, not us though.
Nope.
We're rewatching. We know these. Mm-hmm. My name is Evan Atkinson. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex 00 Doherty. Alex, do you still have your license to kill? How are you?
Well, I think I might be earning it today, according to this premise.
Imagine the power we have now that we've actually seen one of these movies.
Right? I was about to say, I couldn't guess what the plot is about.
Did you forget?
Well, I might have a vague inkling, but I'm still going to be able to. Do we think he's going to be on lots of modes of transportation? That kind of stuff is all going to be different now for us.
It's going to be different because we're watching 2006's Casino Royale, which is essentially a reboot of the franchise. From the cultural conversation about these movies, is James Bond, he's silly, he's easy to parody, he's a goofy secret agent. Except for Timothy Dalton. Timothy Dalton was a cold-blooded murderer.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're in Casino Royale. We keep saying it's like the pre- and post-Bourne identity movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's entirely the reason to move to like gritty spy stuff, but it feels like it.
Yeah, I would say so. Or at least the fighting scenes, I feel like we might see a little bit more kind of like shaky cam.
The leap from 2002 to 2006 is staggering.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be fight choreography involving Bond as opposed to just involving everybody else.
Yeah, involving Bond. A stunt double with a toupee, throwing a chair across a room.
Yep.
It's going to be gritty. It's going to be exciting. I watched this movie with pretty extreme regularity on my birthday every year.
Right.
From your recollection, What's going to happen to us in Casino Royale?
I remember this movie as being the one where he immediately is running on cranes. I believe this is a diamond-related film.
Mm.
The diamond trade. Is that right?
I can't tell you. This is a guess.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Wow. So I feel like I remember it being about the diamond trade. I feel like he ends up in a lair in the middle of the desert. I could be confusing two movies together. And I think he may escape in like a plane in the end off like of an airstrip.
You are.
I am.
You are confusing. You confusing.
Is that Skyfall?
That's Quantum of Solace.
Damn. Where am I?
I'm excited to get to Quantum of Solace. Not to skip ahead, but Quantum of Solace was ragged on by everybody. And I ride hard for that movie. Everyone's like, this James Bond thing is so silly. Like, what's the plot about? And I was like, that movie is the best.
They never have a plot. That's the whole thing.
This Casino Royale set the bar too high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll get to this is Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's about the diamond trade. Where are we going? What countries are we visiting?
I think we're going to be I'm going to say Senegal. I'm going to say Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Brazil.
Okay.
Don't know why.
No, those are all good.
Thank you. What about you?
I
saw this movie in theaters. Let me say that. I do have to say.
Wow. 2006?
I believe so. Because I remember it being everyone applauding every time a car came out.
Okay. You were nine.
I maybe didn't.
No, but then okay.
Was that just what people started doing?
I'm not sure if I saw this in theaters. I might have, but I definitely saw Quantum of Solace in theaters.
I think all of my memories are Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace is the first movie I got excited about before it came out. So I must have seen this before Quantum of Solace came out because I remember the promotional campaign. I remember they launched a bunch of like online flash video games that you could play in your browser of like driving James Bond's speedboat in Quantum of Solace.
The first movie I was excited about coming out was Narnia. I remember the promo and the Aslan was like standing up and I was like, wow, this movie's gonna be sick. So then I read the books.
Wow. Oh, wait, whoa. It was that order? You saw a cool poster and said, I'm gonna read the books?
Yeah, I was a nerd from the beginning.
I mean, damn, I just played that speedboat game all the time and
that's
then waited.
Epic, though.
And then I also knew the second one has a Jack White theme song.
Oh.
And so I was like, it was me. Yeah.
This movie was actually built for you. Well, the next one. Sorry, we're one.
Arguably the best James Bond movie. And Skyfall, people say.
Mm-hmm.
But critically, Casino Royale, it came out of, I think it came out of nowhere a little bit. Because remember Remember the last movie we watched and how he surfed a tidal wave?
Yep.
You did like that movie. You liked it a lot.
That movie was the best out of his.
Damn, you're right.
Other than like Michelle Yeoh was incredible in hers. But like that.
I forget who I'm talking to.
It was a good movie.
Okay, right, yeah.
There were explosions. He was killing people. He had a woman with agency. I feel like...
That's important.
People need to put respect on Halle Berry's name.
Sure. I don't want to besmirch the name of Diner of the Day. But I'm excited to see how they turn it around. Also, we haven't had the context. When we watched these, when you watched this movie in theaters... We had not seen the preceding 20 James Bond films.
Nope.
But now we have. Mm. And so it might feel a little different.
It's going to be weird.
I'm excited to see what it's like. We're about to watch Casino Royale, a little bit more shaken, a little bit more stirred. And we'll come back and give you our review. We just watched all 2 hours. Oh my gosh. And 24 minutes of 2006's Casino Royale. Mm. We have a lot of thoughts. A lot of these thoughts we just expressed before I forgot to press the record button.
The highlight was that this movie felt a lot like a movie.
Yeah. Damn. I guess you could truncate most of what we said into the movie was a movie and we watched it.
Uh-huh. And also turns out Sean Connery is
a brunette. Yeah. We'll start from the basics. I think watching this movie, like I said at the opening, probably like every year. And we were so, this whole series, when we started watching the Bond movies, we were like, just wait till we get to Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just wait till we get to Daniel Craig.
Every time a woman was slapped.
We're like, he's a hero. We can't wait for our king, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
We were so excited to get there. And honestly, watching this, I'm like, it's better for sure.
For sure.
But
it's 2006, turns out.
It's still... But it's still, it was less of a departure than I think I thought it was in my mind.
Yeah.
There's no Q in this movie.
Yep.
And the gadget is just like a defibrillator.
Yeah. This is a lot kind of like what I was starting, as we started getting through the like Timothy Dalton, especially,
yeah,
and how dark it got. I was like, man, I actually don't know if this is going to be as different as maybe we all thought as an American audience.
Yeah.
But it might be. And it still definitely is in a lot of ways, in like fighting ways and like things like that.
Okay.
But
yeah,
in terms of like the quote unquote James Bondy things, it's like, you know, it's like a regular James Bond movie, which I guess isn't bad.
So let's talk about Daniel Craig. This is our introduction to Daniel Craig as James Bond. When he was announced to be taking on the role, it was met with a lot of criticism.
Really?
Because of the fact that he was blonde. They were like,
it's another white man. I don't understand.
It was big. When they announced, they were like, this fucking guy is not, this is not a debonair, brunette, big, thick, hairy man.
I forgot that people define tall, dark, and handsome as a certain way, and turns out it just means brunette.
Yeah. We're looking at a big glossy image of Daniel Craig right now.
Well, like, looks so not blonde he looks the most of the time because he's so wet or sweaty.
It is a pretty wet movie for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's extraordinarily handsome. He's ripped beyond belief. He
looks great
in this movie, especially when he's stripped down to his skivvies.
I feel great for him that people were unhappy with it and he did such a good job.
Okay. Broad strokes of this movie, because it was a little complicated, would you say? The plot?
Yeah. Well, it complicated feels generous.
Here's
convoluted. Here,
can I give you a run at the plot? I think I unknotted it throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there is this broker. He's essentially like it's kind of like the big short in a lot of ways. Basically, Lashif is an investor.
Yeah.
He will take clients' money and bet it on things. He's a mathematical genius, and he'll bet it on things and then kind of skew the odds in his favor. So the first thing he does is he gets a bunch of money from people and bets against this airline stock.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, me and this airline is doing really well. They're about to unveil the biggest plane in the world. And he's like, no, I bet their stock's going to tank. And so he takes all these criminal organization money and bets on that, and then hires a guy to blow that plane up so he can make the money back. But James Bond thwarts the destruction of the plane. So he loses a bunch of money, loses all of his clients' money. And then Lechiffre, played by Mads Mikkelsen, this criminal broker, decides to win all the money back on a super high stakes poker game. And James Bond gets involved in that as well. So that's kind of the main plot. One of his investors is a mysterious criminal organization, which we can kind of guess might be Spectre.
Yeah.
The face of that organization is a man named Mr. White.
He announces the face in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, he kind of shows up at random points throughout the movie, but then shows up at the end, kills Lechiffre, and he's like, you took all of our money, can't trust you. Bam.
Fuck him.
And then we find out he's the villain. So that's kind of the main conflict of the movie. The B plot is James Bond falls in love.
Yeah, the part that they really focus on is he's got an accountant woman that's assigned to him to give him all of his money during the poker game. They've got great banter. She's very smart and doesn't want to fuck him. Then all of a sudden,
her name is Vesper.
Oh, yeah, Vesper. They both get kidnapped. He tries to save her. He pretty much dies. Then he comes back to life. Then she's like, let's do this thing. And then they run off together for 2 months.
And then it's just a romantic comedy between James Bond and Vesper.
Just living off of funds from her.
Yeah.
She's an accountant, got money, presumably.
Living up. At one point, she takes a phone call from presumably her boss and says, yeah, I'll be back in a month. Which,
and we're like, boss move.
Who could ever?
Right. Turns out she was sending meet you in 30 minutes because she's been wheeling and dealing with the money that James Bond won during the poker game.
She's giving the money to Mr. White in exchange for saving James Bond's life and keeping her secret French Algerian boyfriend alive.
That she forgets about, notably when she takes off this necklace, which was an heirloom for him.
Yeah, she was.
That was crazy.
It was it was a little bit of the James Bond effect of like, anybody you had a previous relationship with is less important than me because I'm James Bond.
Yeah. Listen, you can only have one hostage boyfriend. She got a different hostage boyfriend because turns out when they were both kidnapped, she made a deal with Mr. White to get him out, you know?
She keeps having, imperiled love interests who she makes deals with criminal organizations to save.
Been there.
Yeah, she's. What do you think of our blonde Bond? Like, how do you think Daniel Craig handles it? What's his tone? What's his Bond persona?
I would say he mirrors a bit of the Timothy Dalton. You know, he's got a darker James Bond, a lot more. Well, he's like invincible in terms of physically. He bursts through drywall. Yeah. Like, he's like pretty epic in that sense. But still's got a lot of the little James Bond. Only a few jokes. The jokes grew throughout the end of the movie. And then I feel like in the end, he became like very much like a dependent man. But I liked him. I mean, I love Daniel Craig.
I think Daniel Craig was great. They brought a physicality, or he brings a physicality to Bond that I feel like we haven't seen. Timothy Dalton, definitely, for sure. But like this.
But infinitely more than Timothy.
Infinitely more, because I think you said he was invincible, but I think it's more like, the better way of describing it is he's okay with taking hits.
Yeah.
Like he'll just throw his body through a meat grinder to get what he needs.
Yeah, for sure.
And like it starts with, first of all, cold open, black and white, which is
crazy.
Absolutely crazy. And so well done, too.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. It's a very much trying to give us a noir film vibe. We've got lots of hard angles. Everything's very crisply black and white. And it feels like it should be like raining and someone's monologuing. But really, it's like,
it was that dame knocked on my door. It reboots the franchise in a way of like, it shows us how he gets his license to kill, which we haven't seen before. This is him like
proving that he's just been hired. He's talking about his first one.
He shows up. He's like interrogating some guy for some, I don't know, spy crime. He's like, oh, I thought I was a bigger deal. They would have sent a 00. you haven't even gotten your first two kills yet. And he goes, well, I got one kill. And then it flashes back to him having a brutal black and white bathroom fight where he drowns a man in a sink.
Super grainy, super like you just see him smashing into every bit of a bathroom, like infinitely more physical than every James Bond movie combined.
Oh, absolutely. Like just brutal, bloody, dark, like R-rated fight.
Mm-hmm. I think like they used all of their blood count in the beginning of
yeah,
the movie.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, oh, well, you know, it takes two kills to become a 00. Don't worry, the second one, and then James Bond shoots him and he goes, yeah, it's a lot easier, which is so hardcore.
It was a really good piece of dialogue.
That was like the kind of the vibe I got as the movie went on is like, it feels like, and this is a weird comparison, Ant-Man. You ever see Ant-Man?
Uh-huh. I think I might have.
Ant-Man was the first, like, it was initially written by Gareth Edwards, a director who I love, who did like Scott Pilgrim, Shaun of the Dead, Baby Driver, like all these very snappy, kinetic, fun movies. And then he left because of creative differences. Mm. And then Paul Rudd wrote the rest of the first Ant-Man movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell like the bits that are Edgar Wright and the bits that are Edgar Wright.
For sure.
And it's basically like the opening of the movie. And it felt like the first third of Casino Royale is so tight and kinetic and like,
yep.
Whoa.
Yep.
And then the next two thirds are good, but they're different.
Definitely.
In a way.
I feel like every time they shot MI6, there was a bit of that kind of noir energy, even when it wasn't black and white, where it was like a lot of like side angle shots, like when James broke into M's apartment in the yes. beginning. It was just like a lot of really wide angles and low, and just felt like we were in a different like movie, but they kind of stopped doing that kind of messing around with creative like that, I felt like, in the second
Somebody
half.
Somebody wrote the first third of the movie and every scene M is in.
Mm, that's what it felt like.
And then the rest, certainly not the same person who touched up the Vesper James Bond dialogue.
I don't understand even what happened to her costume in the second half of the movie. She's just running out with the Trader Joe's bag.
Yeah, that's when the 2006 really showed up. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing in that I think this movie tries to be like, we're grown up, this is the realistic James Bond.
Yeah.
And one of the scenes that I remember kind of everyone talking about when it came out, and I would like kind of hold this up as like, oh, this is such a progressive, cool thing, is like Vesper during a fight scene in the second third of the movie ends up killing somebody. Mm-hmm. And she is immediately suffering like post-traumatic stress. Or something from
just general trauma.
General trauma from having to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And she's freaking out. And James Bond, she's sitting in a shower. And mm-hmm. James goes and like sits in the shower with her and consoles her. Okay. That's so cool that they're recognizing that killing someone is actually a big deal.
Yep.
And then she's like, I see his blood on my hands and I can never wash it off. And I'm like, that's trauma. And then James Bond goes, you know how I deal with that?
Just suck on him.
I lick it off your hands. Oh, I just suck it off your fingers.
For sure. Just two of them right in the mouth.
Just like in such a horny way.
Yep. And she was like, thank you.
Thank you so much. My trauma is better. I'll show up in the next scene in an even more low-cut dress because of that.
Yep. We're still not cool, but that's fine.
I haven't even looked at the notes I wrote for this movie. That's how much... That's the thing. It's like this movie was engaging.
Yeah, I didn't really. I feel like with the other ones, what I will say, I complained a couple times in this movie. I know we've also lost the formatting.
Yeah, it's fine.
One of my lowlights, I kind of forgot what was going on midway through this movie in the sense where I'm like, I didn't know who the bad guy was. We were just watching a couple on a nice Venice vacation.
Yep.
I.e. James Bond and Vesper.
Yeah.
But as opposed to the previous movies where I was like, oh, there's three plots going on and I don't know who the bad guy is because there's like science happening. And that this was nicer than that.
Yeah.
That feeling, I would say.
That's true. Well, you did know who the bad guy was because I have a quote in my notes from you saying Lashif is obviously the bad guy because he's asthmatic.
Literally, they did not lose that special, special James Bond energy of anybody who could possibly be any different. Bad.
Yeah. If you have a physical difference, you are the villain. Mm-hmm. Lashif bleeds from his eye when he's stressed.
Yep.
He also has a scar down his face and is asthmatic. And then in the end, when we find out that Vesper is turned against Bond, it's because of a man with a missing eye is her contact.
Right.
He has like an eye patch.
Yeah, you see a guy on the side of the road just with a missing eye. And you're like, well, damn.
There's the villain.
Guess we're back to this part of the movie.
Spotted him.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about highlights and lowlights?
Yeah. Easy highlight. Stunts.
Yes.
Great fights.
Yep.
The whole beginning of James and Madagascar running through construction sites, etc. Fabulous. He was going through walls, windows, cranes, automobiles, bulldozed.
Parkour. I loved in that scene when he's chasing that bomb maker, and then the bomb maker like realizes he's out of bullets and just throws the gun at Bond. Bond catches it and throws it back at him.
So good.
That's amazing.
Because that is what would happen here.
Oh my god. I mean Judi Dench. Oscar winning Dame Judi Dench. Absolutely earning her paycheck in this movie.
Always.
James Bond breaks into her apartment and she's like, Jesus, why are you here? And he's like, oh, sorry, next time I'll shoot the camera.
She goes, playing solitaire.
Yeah. He's like, next time I'll shoot the camera. And she says, or shoot yourself. And I'm like,
icon.
Absolute. Her first scene in that Pierce Brosnan movie when she's like, you're a misogynist dinosaur.
It had that exact same energy.
Same energy. She keeps it.
I'm so happy for it. Did we not have a Money Penny in this?
No,
they made
penny.
A Money Penny sounding joke to Vesper. That's really what we were doing.
There's no Money Penny, no Q. It's just
we did get a Felix though.
We did get a Felix.
Highlight having a Felix.
Yeah.
I would give this number two Felix. Number one Felix being Dr. No Felix.
Is it Jeremy Irons? Is that his name?
Right.
Jeremy Wright. Jeremy Wright.
Because I thought it was the stunt coordinator because it came right after the stunt coordinator name.
Jeffrey Wright.
Yes, yes. They go, stunts coordinated by this man with Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright is Q. He was Bernard in Westworld. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's a character actor. But he was good in this. He was just, he showed up. He did his job as kind of like the semi-competent CIA agent of like, I know James Bond is a better spy than me, but I'm backed by a richer country.
Yep.
So we can solve this.
Always that energy. Always.
I liked the tarmac chase is good. Speaking of stunts, like James Bond is fighting a man in an oil tanker driving down a tarmac towards a big plane. And then he clips the bomb that was supposed to blow up the plane to the hijacker.
Yep.
And the guy's like, haha, idiot, like you saved the plane, but the bomb truck is still close enough that I could blow it up. And he triggers the explosive and just blows himself up.
Yeah, so here's the thing about that. First, the car chase scene has him fighting the oil tanker, as you say, while also being chased by three cops, while also almost getting hit by a separately flying plane.
Yeah.
Which is like the most overwhelming scene, but iconic. Secondly, if this man just needed his stocks to go down, this man being the bad guy, there was, first of all, a bomb that went off of the airport. Second of all, this plane's being unveiled while cops are unable to find the perpetrator. There's three car accidents. All of the flights are canceled for the day. Those stocks are tanking.
The job's kind of done. You're right.
He blew another man up. Instead of the plane, just one single man blew up.
It's like, this is
done.
This is post 9/11,
which they did reference.
They did reference. If you sneeze near a plane, I feel like the plane stocks are going to go down.
1,000%.
That's a good point.
This guy goes through TSA with the flashlight bomb.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's enough.
Damn. True.
But I do like the fact that there was just that.
Can you help me out with something that's kind of bugging me right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 hours, 24 minutes. Let's call it 2.5 hours.
Yes. Easily.
Can we break down how the length of time that each scene took? Because in my memory, the first hour is like from the cold open through the plane fight.
Yeah.
Is hour one. Hour two is just a poker game.
Poker game and love story.
No, I think the love story is just the last 30 minutes.
Really?
I think if we scroll back to 2 hours, it's the
I'm going to need to do that, actually. Because midway through the movie, I really could not tell time. Because I could... These scenes were a lot and nothing.
We're skipping ahead to an hour. And we're going to see what...
The body museum. Okay, yeah, you're
right.
Straight
up. Yeah, the first hour is almost exactly the plane fight.
The first hour, you can feel the Bourne Identity references.
Yeah. All right, hour two. I think it's just poker. Still poker. We're 30 minutes in.
Shut up.
My God.
Wow, what a great gauge of time.
And it's the end of the poker game. Ends hour two. And then it's just...
Wow, that's not how it felt in my head. I'm going to be honest.
No,
in my head,
exactly.
It was like 2 hours for the beginning.
Yes.
Poker was half an hour. And then the rom-com was another hour. Like, this movie was 4 hours, but didn't feel like... I don't know.
No, this movie's fucking bizarre. Because now that I've seen this, I think like 6 times, I'm only starting to realize, like, when I remember this movie, I just remember the hour with poker. And then someone's like, you remember that fucking the best part of the movie is the first hour? And I'm like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing. And then they're like, and the rom-com? That's amazing that it's as exact as that.
But you usually kill that.
Thank you. They're so perfectly separate. There's a screenwriting rule where, you know, the exact halfway point, it is like the turn. It's the climax. And I think if we go to the exact halfway at this, which should be like an hour 10.
It seemed like it because we didn't meet the Bond girl till on the hour point.
Yeah.
And that he was unhinged by the second poker game, which I will also say highlight James Bond is unhinged, except for the fact that he does get a little physical. You know, we're returning back to our old James. Let's see.
It's really him meeting Vesper.
It's him arriving in wherever the fuck that they were giving us locations up until this point, and I was irritated about that.
It's, yeah, up until the poker
game. We were getting screen caps for every spot we went to, and then they stopped it after we went to Uganda.
They show what looks to be like Lake Como, and then it's just a bunch of Czech writing, and you're like, figure it out.
My only transportation notes in this is James in a bulldozer and he's riding a luggage cart. That's good.
Any low lights? I feel like we're all over the goddamn map right now.
Yeah.
And that's
all
okay.
Of my notes are from the first hour, which sounds about right.
That's kind of the thing. I think like a low light is once you finish the movie, it all adds up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think I look back on it. I'm like, okay. I can track why they had all these scenes, but I think it struggles a little bit from editing. Like, I think if they would have tightened it up, like, there's that scene where Lashif is interrogated by his buyers, the two guys from Uganda with the machete.
Yeah, I didn't understand who we were, what the drive was here.
At the end of the movie, I realize it's because we're supposed to understand that Lashif is desperate. He lost other people's money.
Right, right.
And that's why he's so scared. But watching that, like that point in the movie, if you hadn't seen it before, you're like, who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah.
And why are they so angry? And then at the end, you're like, oh, but like that's not, you know, a movie doesn't succeed on, you have to watch it twice.
Yeah, sometimes if like the twist is good enough, but when the twist is just like context, that's a little bit, I don't know. I would also say during that scene, I was a little bit confused on, they were trying to make it very tense, but it was like, I'm seeing a group that we've established as bad guys versus a group we've established as bad guys. Why am I concerned about anybody in this room?
You have no one to root for.
Yeah, they were like making it so dramatic with them holding this woman's arm like they were going to chop it. And it was just kind of like, I feel like I'm watching a dispute and I don't really care for it. But they were trying to make us feel bad for the bad guy, it felt like then, and feel bad for the girl. I'm like, no, they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like that scene.
Low light slash something that I think dated it exceptionally was going to the Body Works exhibit.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I made a whole note saying, are they getting money in some way? Question mark.
It was like, I just remember it was such a thing at the time, like 2000, this was filmed like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that coming to the Denver Science Museum, being like, it's a room that you got to pay extra for in the museum. You can go see what human bodies look like without skin on them.
Why?
I don't need it. Yeah. It was so, it was like, he's at the Sobe Lifewater tent at the Warped Tour.
Don't you want to see what your bones look like when you're trying to drink some fucking water, bro? Like, I get the fact that it's supposed to allude to our poker game later. The fact that it starts with bones playing poker.
No.
I don't like it. I would also say a low light was how insane I felt during the beginning of the rom-com. I was convinced I was going nuts by the fact that the relationship between James Bond and Vesper moved so fast from I hate you to let's do this thing.
Yeah. Why'd you feel insane for that?
Well, he did say verbatim, last time I spoke to you, you hated me. Yeah. And now you're into this. And she said, I'm a complicated woman. And as a woman, I'm a little bit like,
oh, my God,
this is not actually the case. What's going on here? You'd be feeling it or you're not be feeling it. Like, it just isn't happening like this. And then also there's a whole scene where he wakes up in the middle of the night in a state and she's hanging out with Mathis.
Yeah.
Who's a guy that's we didn't even talk about until right now. Who's a bad guy. And we just ignore it. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it's like, yeah, she's been bad. And that made me feel better.
Yeah.
But no, it was like 20 minutes of that.
I agree with you. And I want to challenge you with this. We've fallen in love with Bond girls on less.
Oh, for sure. But they made her agency so...
such a thing.
Yeah, she was shitting on every other Bond girl.
Yeah.
Called them all stupid, and we've had that, definitely. But it was weird to hear him say it, and then them lean into it so hard in a way that didn't feel quite... like, she was so clear about not being into almost everything he did. And then he made her name a password in a poker game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she literally fell to the ground and was like, if any man could be like you, we'd be lucky for it. Like, this is not the same woman that looked at him and said, you think I'm an orphan because you're a fucking orphan. We're talking about our trauma. Like, it just didn't feel like it was just like, who is this person?
Yeah, that's true. When you said, you think I'm an orphan because you're an orphan. Wow.
Like, that's how was she introduced?
That's true.
Like, he's like, you're wearing this necklace because you're in love with another person and holding onto it. I will never understand your motives. He said it to her verbatim.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to forget it?
That's true. We're too smart, I think.
I'll take that.
There's still some James Bond stuff going on.
Oh, for sure. I feel like I haven't even cracked the surface and we've been talking for seven hours.
I've run into this a lot. Alex and I, with a group of our friends, watch the reality robot fighting competition show BattleBots every Thursday. It's essentially our equivalent of church.
For sure.
We go to this same thing every one day a week. We all come together. Yes. No, straight up. This is our religious organization.
But I feel special to be a part of it.
You know, we all show up. We do this thing. And I realized, like, I've been talking to my friends who attend BattleBots, and we'll be having, like, pretty lengthy, well-reasoned arguments and conversations about, like, the efficacy of different weapons that BattleBots will use. And it's like, oh, they have a vertical spinner. Oh, no, that's going to be no use against a control bot. Well, of course, a control bot has to let go after 20 seconds. Those are the rules. And I feel like this is what's happening to you and I about James Bond right now. Is like, if you lock us in a room for 4 hours, we'll come out with like, just still like, and then this other thing. And it's honestly, so the rom-com was 30 minutes of this. But remember when he married his wife in that one movie? And they had...
It's not great.
This is a wet movie.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in the airplane hangar, the guy sets off the sprinkler system. Wet. James Bond gets out of a pool in like 8 scenes.
Wet.
He gets poisoned. He's so sweaty. Wet.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wet movie. Mm-hmm. Vesper drowns in Venice. Wet. Like top to bottom, damp.
So when you were talking about vertical spinners for a second, I thought you were going to go for a highlight being the torture device that is the rope that hits James Bond in the balls so hard that it's supposed to make him break.
We haven't assigned ultimate highlights.
Yeah.
But that is my ultimate highlight and best.
That scene saved the second half.
Yes. Agreed. also the car flip.
Oh, yeah. And then her drowning in an elevator while in a drowning building, which he also didn't really highlight. That as a concept is really good.
Really wet. Lachey's.
Yeah, we watched her die.
Yeah. Oh, that was hardcore. I don't know how they filmed that. Mm-mm. That was very upsetting. James is chasing after the kidnap Vesper. Lachey kidnaps Vesper. He's giving chase, and then she's tied up on the road. The timeline doesn't match up.
No, but it's scary.
It's scary. He swerves to miss her and flips his car like 13 times. Mm-hmm. The stunt is sick. He's captured and put in what appears to be like the hull of a cargo ship. And they cut the seat out of a wicker chair.
Which I thought it, you made a toilet joke and I thought it was for that.
Yeah, they make a wicker toilet. They make a wicker toilet. They strip James Bond naked, which, wowie kazowie, does our boy Daniel Craig look nice.
Yeah, and I know he looks relatively similar today.
He is whipped in the balls repeatedly by Mads Mikkelsen, which a lot of us would pay for.
Yeah.
And the James Bond line of the movie is he's laughing super hard, and Lachey was like, why are you laughing? And he's like, the whole world is going to know you died scratching my balls.
It's iconic. Nothing else is going to make a man feel more unstable than just you laughing at
this.
Oh
my God, no, you'll spiral. The only time that they potentially match that is in Skyfall. Do you remember the scene I'm talking about?
No. You can't jump ahead. We can only go back.
Oh my God, I can't.
So I'll assume that you're talking about when James Bond, i.e. Pierce Brosnan, was captured in North Korea.
And is tortured for...
And we're still making jokes in the end.
A year. A little different. Truly, the quote of this movie...
But they do keep that energy up, at least. James Bond laughing in the face of torture.
I wrote this after he sucks Vesper's fingers... free of blood after he killed a guy.
Yeah.
I wrote trauma, but make it sexy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing with the nut whip.
Yeah.
He's trauma, but make it sexy.
Definitely. He did ask him to scratch his balls, which is pretty great. Yeah. I like following. Oh my God. He asked this man to scratch his balls with. Okay. What in the romantic comedy? Mm. But another highlight, we get to see James Bond's full toes.
Highlight.
I thought that was kind of funny. Okay. Full pigs.
Okay. What side character would you like to see a full movie of?
I would give it to this Felix.
The Jeffrey Wright Felix?
Because we didn't get a lot about him. We usually get a lot more. As soon as CIA is involved, they usually continue them throughout the movie. This one, he was a in and out, purely a poker man, purely losing at poker, purely giving James Bond money.
Yeah.
And that's all we got from Felix. I'd like to see more of him.
He's a submissive sugar daddy.
I'd like to see more of it.
He's a sugar baby.
Because I feel like there's a lot. How did this man get into this poker tournament? If he played poker for shit. How? Where did he go after this?
Why didn't they tell MI6?
Mm-hmm.
Why? No, there's a lot of questions.
He was supposed to bring in the bad guy. Well, guess who gets shot in the head after torturing James Bond by hitting him in the balls? That guy.
Yeah, I would watch Felix movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would have my movie. My movie's going to be about the Swedish banker. The Swedish banker who runs the poker tournament. He runs the poker tournament and he makes he's like, he'll wire the funds to whoever wins.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, James Bond is recovering in like this beautiful Lake Como lakeside resort.
Mm-hmm.
And the banker just kind of jauntily skips up the gravel path.
Literally waving, carrying a silver suitcase.
He has to know he's in some deep shit. Mm. And never any expression but a smile.
Also, where was James Bond in that? There was just nothing but old men in wheelchairs.
I love that Swedish banker. He's like, obviously knows he's in some deep shit, but he's just happy-go-lucky regardless.
That's the Swedish banker for you.
Good for that. Also, James Bond is like, hey, dog, where did I send my money again? And he's like, oh, well, it's being withdrawn in Venice right now. Obviously, you would know that. And he's like, no, dipshit, why would I call you?
Like, right in St. Mark's Square?
Yeah, it's certainly you would know about this. Oh, my God.
Oh, well, let me check my girlfriend's phone. She left it behind in our hotel suite.
We didn't even... Yeah, why'd she leave her phone? Rookie mistake. We didn't even talk about the theme song.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
I liked the intro. It was all card themed. Kind of funny that it was actually just an hour of the movie.
Chris Cornell's You Know My Name.
Oh.
Yeah, I love this song.
Wait, it's not named after the movie?
No.
How many of those is that?
Oh, that's a good point. That, I actually don't know.
Because I feel like usually Goldfinger knows how to, like, I'm not going to call it Casino Royale. I'm not going to call it Casino Royale. Do they ever say Casino Royale?
No.
Then why is it a James Bond movie?
It's the first book. The first James Bond book.
No, but, like, why is that song picked as the intro then? Because I feel like usually it has to do with the title. The title sequence.
If you take a look, you'll realize. I don't know. I think the lyrics are about it. The next movie theme song, I know I keep bringing up Quantum of Solace, but they're not going to name a song Quantum of Solace.
Oh, so we just get rid of that? We've been doing that for 20 movies and we just get rid of that?
Yeah, and then Jack White and Alicia Keys show up with the amazing duet Another Way to Die.
Thank God for Skyfall.
And then Skyfall brings it back.
Mm.
And then Spectre. I think it's that fucking god-awful Sam Smith song.
I thought that was Billie Eilish.
No, Billie Eilish does No Time to Die.
But that's named after that.
Yes.
Nice. What did Sam Smith do?
Is Sam Smith's called? I don't think it's called Spectre.
That feels weird to do it for some and not all, but it's okay. Well, I would say the intro's cute.
Well, do you remember the 1962 James Bond movie Three Blind Mice?
Dr. No is different. They didn't know what they were doing.
Okay.
But now we've got 20 years of the 20 years as if 30.
30. No, okay. There's established precedence. This is the 44th year of James Bond.
Yeah, they're
the movie comes out.
The thing is for the first two, they try to go guitar-y, not the same name, and then they bring it back to a soulful name of the movie. And then, I think that shows something. Goldfinger, Skyfall, great songs.
But then this one. Yeah, all right, yeah, guitar range. I see what you're saying, and I'm repeating it. I also liked early on, there's kind of a subplot where he beats a guy in poker, wins the Aston Martin from him.
Yeah.
And then he ends up sleeping with the guy's wife, and the wife is like, he pulls up in the guy's car, and she almost accidentally gets into it, and then he gets out, and she goes, oh, sorry, my mistake. That looks like that's my husband's car. And say, like, oh yeah, I just won it from him in poker.
Yep.
And he goes, but I can give you a ride though. And
that's iconic.
His wife goes, oh, I'm not that cruel. And James says, maybe you're just out of practice.
Yep.
That's his flirting. I believed it.
I was so interested every time he spoke.
I was enraptured.
And that's when you have to know that the rom-com scene felt out of nowhere. Because I was ready to go. The first Bond girl, I was like, yes.
Yes.
I would leave my husband for that right away. I would give mine to when James Bond is sitting at the poker table. He orders his drink and proceeds to name out in detail the beverage that he'd like in ounceage, alcohol type, and it's so good, but half of the table orders the same drink, which I think is iconic.
And then he tries it apparently for the first time and says, that's good. I'll have to come up with a name for that. Which is like, I would love to be able to list spirits and be like, oh, yeah, all right.
Good.
That was good.
There are a few references to him being like very green. There's a moment where the Bond girl Vesper, she is supposed to be going to the poker game with James. He's apparently wearing an outfit that's not up to par because she pulls out here's a coat in the other room for you. And he's like, this is tailored. And she's like, indeed, I measured you up.
Yeah. Well,
and it's a perfect fit and it's a sexy tux.
As she says, there are dinner jackets and then there's dinner jackets. And this is the latter.
Mm-hmm.
Fire.
She's quote. Like, you cannot absolutely embarrass me. And I was obsessed with every bit of that.
Alex,
you're trying to end this.
We gotta rate this movie.
Do it. You go first.
I'll rate this movie an 8.5 out of 10.
8.5. Okay. I would say an 8.
An 8. Okay. I give this an 8.5 because I think my memory would have given this a 9 out of 10. But I think after watching it, I'm like, okay, some stuff read differently this watch than it did before.
Sure.
I think like, before I was like, the shower scene is bulletproof. It's incredible. And then I was like, it's weird that he's turning this into a sexy thing.
Yeah.
Like there's just some stuff that hasn't aged well since last year when I watched it previously.
Yeah.
I think it's just because I've seen all the movies and I'm like, I'm looking at these old Bond movies with the mental state of like, oh, well, Daniel Craig's going to swoop in and fix all this. But then he didn't. Mm. And it's long. Mm. Like, it's cool. It's gritty. It's realistic. The gadget is just a defibrillator.
Why couldn't the main guy be the bad guy? Like, why couldn't we have, like, done that as the movie? Like, why couldn't Lushi just be the dude? And we just end it soon after that. Button up. Mwah, beautiful. Maybe we get, like, a nice... We didn't talk about the ending of the movie.
That okay. I was going to say. Like, I don't like the fact that Lashif isn't the villain. Mr. White doesn't get explained at all, but he ends up being the villain. But then it does give us the best scene in the entire movie, which is James Bond calls Mr. White on the phone after Vesper dies. And Mr. White picks it up and he's like, hello, who is this? And James Bond just shoots him in the leg.
Icon? Goes,
it's Bond, James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old Bond theme plays. Thrilling.
Yep. Kind of looks like the House of Knives Out.
Yeah. 8.5.
Okay, I give it an 8. I think he did a grand job. There were some things I was kind of hoping for, some tropes that kind of fell into from the old. But overall, great movie. I love him. And I'm excited to see how the rest of them go. I also, despite the relationship between him and the Bond girl, I do love her as an actress. And it was a good time.
Well, we only have to wait 2 years for the next one. It's 2008's Quantum of Solace.
All my guesses from tonight go to that movie.
Go to Quantum of Solace. A movie that I remember fondly.
We think we saw this one in theaters.
We'll see. We saw this. We'll find out. But we'll be watching it in our home theater
mm-hmm.
next episode. Until then.
Sayonara.
Sleep with a gun under your pillow.